2016. It is Saturday night. Sahajima Ruse Saturday night. Choshi wa dou dai. And we are back with another Macro Speaker podcast. And right next to me is
Jason C.
And on via Skype, we've got
Kyle, also known as Falcon KPD.
And next to him is
Annika, also known as Nioka.
Okay, and I am Richard, known as Goobaba sometimes, and I am your kind of sort of host here. And we've got something big, and it's an even bigger as of yesterday, because yesterday, Big West decided to un-region block the Macross Delta video that they had uploaded to YouTube. And it is now viewable everywhere. It does not have subs. I don't know if this is a personal or if this is a permanent thing. I don't know if the series will be like this. I am pretty sure that it does not mean that Delta will be aired or streamed in America. But if they can do this thing where it's like, you know, it's region blocked for a week and then they unblock it, for every episode, I'm okay with that. How do you guys feel?
Well, I feel like it may stir up some controversy. That being said, I don't know if it was an accident. I don't know why they're doing this. Nobody does, really. So, your guess is as good as mine.
I suppose I could ask, but I'm afraid that it is an accident. And if I ask, then they'll block it again.
Yeah.
You know?
But it may be a glimmer of hope in a dark tunnel. So we'll see.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So Delta, of course, aired on Japanese TV on December 31st. So a little over a week ago. We've already had the main podcast crew in Tokyo summarize it, so we don't really need to do that. Pretty quick. Jason, what do you think of it?
Oh, God, where to start?
Magical Girls, oh, my God!
I have a whole thing on that, but I guess I'll start with my overall before we get into details and maybe we should split it up into different sections, story, characters,
sure,
graphics,
yeah,
music. I guess overall, my overall impression is I like it. I like it a lot. It's not – I mean, I guess people can say that it's different, and it's different in the way everything is presented up front. Mm-hmm. But I think as a whole, it feels like Macross to me. And that gets me excited about it just because I'm used to it. I'm used to the girls. I'm used to the flashy graphics. I'm used to the Valkyries. And I like that it's different, but I like that it feels the same.
Annika, what about you?
I'll probably start off by saying the first time I saw it, I wasn't too into it. And then the second time I saw it, I was kind of into it. And the third time I saw it, I was pretty into it.
Okay.
And I definitely like it a lot more than the first time I saw it. Like, there was just more – there's more to it than meets the eye the first time you see it. There really is.
Yeah, you weren't terribly positive.
No, not at all. The trailers made it out to me to seem like this big fantasy thing. And I didn't get any of that from episode one. But, you know, we've got another – what do you think? 25 episodes to go, maybe 30 this time.
Okay.
And some movies. And
you know that they'll try doing 31 episodes, exactly.
I think it needs to be either 16 or 64.
Oh.
Wow. No in between there.
No in betweens, no.
Okay. 64 seems a little long-winded.
Hey, yeah, Macross 7.
I know, but when you think about it...
7 is too long.
I mean... How many episodes was SDF Macross?
36.
Right. So 6 times 6.
Oh.
How many episodes was Macross 7?
49. Oh, I see.
How many episodes was Macross Frontier?
25. So 5 times 5, 7 times 7.
So it needs to be either 16 or 64.
Okay. Well, if you go by the... Okay, I think we're reading into this way too much at this point. But if you go into that logic, you'd probably want to have a multiple of 3 because, you know, a triangle has 3 sides.
Oh, okay. So it'd have to be 9.
Yeah, well, 9 or 3 times 9 or... I don't know.
9 and 3, 27.
Yes, 27 episodes. That'd be perfect. That'd be a perfect run.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, but joking aside, ladies and gentlemen, it was fun. It was a great opening.
What were your impressions of it?
My impressions, okay,
professional opinion, though.
In my opinion, I had personal issues with a few things, which we'll probably get into later. But overall, it left me with a similar feeling I got after walking out of the theater when I saw Star Wars, Episode 7. I was in a really good mood, and I wanted to see more.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. No, it definitely didn't... It didn't really blow me away.
Right.
But it was promising.
No, you can't reveal your whole hand in the first episode.
Right. And I noticed that most of the stuff from the trailers ended up in the first episode, but not everything. Like, Annika, you were talking about the fantasy stuff, like the castle wasn't in this episode. The
Knights of what's them called.
Well, they showed up.
They showed up, but they weren't.
They also didn't really show them standing on that ledge either.
Right. Yeah. They didn't show them standing on that ledge. They didn't show the Macross Quarter or whatever it is.
Which I think is a cool design.
The Macross One Half, or
right.
It's probably going to be some crazy battle section or something.
But yeah, of course, the big thing that everyone's saying is, especially the detractors, are, "Oh my God, it's Sailor Moon." Is it?
Did these people watch Sailor Moon?
The obvious thing is that they're getting that from the transformation sequences, and that's really the only thing it has in common with Sailor Moon.
Right. But, I mean, you know what they're getting at, that right. It's like magical girls flying around and, like, defeating Mecha. Like,
yeah, but...
Okay, but...
It's a stretch.
Let's break this down, though. Okay. Frontier. Frontier, they show Cheryl change how many times into different uniforms?
Yeah.
Mid-concert?
And they I remember on one forum that I was on at the time, someone said, oh, well, there's an animation mistake where when Cheryl is singing, she's wearing like the kind of dominatrix captain uniform. But then when she falls and Alto catches her, she's wearing something different. And I think I was probably the one who pointed out, oh, well, it's probably a hologram. They had those in Do You Remember Love?
Well, they show her transforming mid-concert in a bunch of different episodes.
Later, yeah.
Like, especially in the second movie, during the final battle, they do a full-on transformation segment where you see, like, right. The hologram rise up her body, and it's quite entertaining.
But there was, I think it was in the first episode? I don't really remember, but there's a part where Cheryl is singing. All of a sudden, the concert gets interrupted, and everything shuts down, yeah, and she's wearing a gray plain suit.
Yeah, that was the first episode.
So, I mean, this technology has been established since Do You Remember Love? Probably before.
Yeah, so basically the point we're trying to make here is that the technology has been established beforehand. They're just putting a new spin on it, so calm down.
And I don't know about you guys, and maybe I'm misreading it, but to me it seemed really kind of tongue-in-cheek.
I kind of got that a bit.
Kind of like maybe kind of making fun of magical girl shows. And they're also saying like, hey, we put this in a Macross show. Who would have thought that? I don't think that part is meant to be taken seriously. It's not. And it's not really anything to get angry about.
I agree.
I think it's kind of a joke.
Yeah, if you go.
It's so over the top when it's done.
Right. Especially when they freeze and there's the pose.
It's a total throwback to those. But if you're going to take 30 seconds, yes. If you're going to take 30 seconds and compare the entire series to 30 seconds, then you're not watching it right. That's pretty much all there I can say about that.
I mean, I've said before like we've all said, there's little tiny nitpicks that we all have issues with. But overall, this still feels like a Macross show. And it's really been bothering me when I see a lot of people saying, oh, this doesn't feel like Macross anymore. Oh, this is killing the Macross name. It's like, these are the elements they've been using since the beginning. Yeah. They're just throwing a new spin on it and maybe dramatizing a few elements to emphasize, you know, they're going a little over the top, that's for sure, but it's still the same elements.
I don't want to be, like, dismissive or anything, but I'm kind of wondering if a lot of those people haven't watched any of this stuff recently.
They could be, you know, started with Frontier.
And no. A lot of these people I've noticed are like Macross Plus and SDF fans.
Mm.
I'm not trying to single anybody out. I'm just saying that if you go into this expecting it to be Macross Plus, you're going to be very disappointed.
The Plus Pierce.
Maybe. Maybe you'll be disappointed. It's again, as Kawamori said, it's supposed to be a mix of 7 and Plus.
We definitely got some Plus elements, but they were definitely in the minority this episode.
Well, but that's where it ended.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
With the big dog fight, with the Drakens. And, okay, biggest disappointment for me, Draken Batroid.
Well, where is it?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Where is it?
They're not going to show it in the first episode. That's like the big secret. It's like in SDF where they didn't reveal the VF1 transforming into a Batroid until like the very end of the episode. And since we only got 0.89 of an episode, then
watch, it's going to be the very last second of the episode we see the Batroid.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're just
it transforms and it crashes into a Chinese shop.
And it goes right through studio satellite and
do a satellite building.
Right. I know what that building looks like.
Oh my god.
I used to have to walk past it to pay my taxes.
I have a feeling that 0.89 is actually more of like the version that was ready to be presented.
Yeah, well, they were saying that in the special, I guess, that there were something like 400 and some odd pictures for the storyboard, but that episode only had like 390 or so of them.
I think it was more like 450 out of 590.
Maybe, I don't remember.
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but anyway, it's like, it's not the end, so that the next episode will go beyond that.
Yeah.
So, darn, Annika, this is kind of disappointing because I thought we were all going to get to argue with you.
I'm sorry, it grew on me.
Yeah, I think it does, you know, and it's...
I'm pretty sure that every element of this show grew on me. The music, I didn't like the music. It grew on me. I didn't like the character designs. It grew on me. I didn't like the, what else did I didn't like anything about this show, and it all grew on me.
You liked the Draken, didn't you?
Oh, I love the Draken. Well, you know, the mechs.
What about the design of the world?
The world I was really shocked at, because again, I was expecting this big fantasy thing. Instead, I got the Middle
Science
East.
Science fiction Middle East, yeah.
Which is, that's different. That's definitely different.
Well, I think, you know, this is what, because Thomas Roman is doing the, is doing all the world designs, and this is what he's really, really good at.
Yeah.
And, I really get the feeling that they're going to be using him to design like a lot of different worlds and a lot of very different styles.
Right.
So you think this show is going to take place in many places?
Yeah, I mean, Kawamori apparently, I mean, according to the last podcast, Kawamori apparently said, like, that yeah, it's going to take place on a bunch of different planets and a bunch of different systems. So I think we're going to be seeing a lot of different environments.
So they're basically just taking advantage of Thomas's abilities. That's cool.
Yeah. So if you had someone like him at your disposal, you probably would too.
Oh, yeah. So with that many worlds, then you're probably looking at a longer series.
I don't think it's going to be more than 26 episodes.
31, come on, 31.
That just doesn't happen much anymore.
But your 16 episodes, probably not.
No. I think it's going to be longer than that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if they break it up into two seasons or something like that. But
have they ever done a two-season Macross show? I don't know.
That would be a first.
Hey, everything about this show is different thus far, so don't rule it out.
It's like different and the same at the same time. It's really interesting. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Well, it was funny. Like, on Macross World, one of the guys who was, I think, most critical about Delta said something in the Star Wars thread that was absolutely perfect. I think it sums up Delta 2, where someone was complaining about Force Awakens, and the guy summed it up as, so it's too much like Star Wars, except for the bits where it's not enough like Star Wars.
Like, that makes no sense, but I understand what he's talking about.
And I think you could say that about Delta also. I mean, it's got everything from Macross. So you could say, like, oh, well, this is just, you know, this is just Macross 2, or this is just Macross 7 in a way. And yet it's done in a way that also feels really, really different.
Since we had so much emphasis on the idols, I got a lot of Macross 7 from this. Mm-hmm. This was the first...
Which is the one that has the fewest idols.
Well, and it's really...
Saucer has the best idol. Come on, guys.
Well, if you think about it, Macross 7
did have a whole idol team.
Yeah, but they failed.
Yeah.
Well, VFX had a better idol team.
But this is... The first Macross where, well, not really even. I was going to say this is the first Macross where they're like actively sending idols out to battle. But you know what? We have the Minmay attack. They threw Ronk out at a bunch of Zentradi who were being all uptight on Gallia. So this isn't really the first time they've done that. But this is the first time the idols have really been in the action, which is really throwing a lot of people off.
And yeah, I think seven did it first.
Seven did it first.
Oh yeah, the jamming birds.
Yeah.
Anna, keep in mind, Annika hasn't seen seven all the way through.
I'm on episode like 20
something.
20 something.
We got to get back.
You're in the part where it's good and it'll get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's for anybody who doesn't know, who hasn't watched seven, there is an idol group called the Jamming Birds, and they play totally original music that isn't taken directly from Macross 2. And they're basically... They basically have a male pilot, and I think the girls are in the back of the VF-11s playing instruments. Is that how it worked?
No, they're all just singing.
They're all just singing, okay. Instruments. They're all just singing, okay.
So they have Valkyrie bodyguards, like the Delta platoon.
Except they're in the Valkyries as well.
Yeah, yeah, they have the pilots, and then the singers are in the rear seat, and each of the jamming bird VF-11Ds, I believe they are, a modified 11D, they all have their own little speaker system, right?
Yeah.
Is that a reference to when Michael brings out the speakers for Ronka?
Well, no.
That seemed more like a Sound Force thing.
It's it's a Macross Scrambled Valkyrie reference, actually.
Oh, okay.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Point is, we've always had idols that go out and stop the evil mechas.
Yes.
But this is the first time one actually almost gets hit with missiles. This is the first time
they're out actually in the middle of the chaos, which I think is a
riding on a Valkyrie with with a tether.
Seven did it first.
That's right. Yeah, Milen did that.
Milen falls out of her cockpit, gets caught by Gamlin, and she rides around in the Gerwalk hand for like a good 30 seconds.
They do that in Sayonara no Tsubasa too, with Cheryl singing in Alto's hand before he drops her off on Ranka's stage.
That's it. Delta is totally unoriginal. Totally unoriginal.
Yeah. What were we thinking?
Yeah.
How dare you say this doesn't sound like Macross? It is the most unoriginal Macross we've seen thus far.
That would be the strangest, harsh criticism probably ever for this.
I've seen people say stuff like that, but I don't know. It's weird. The reception of this has been really strange because it seemed like when right after the broadcast, everyone seemed to be pretty positive about it. And then there was a quickie and not very good fan sub that appeared.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, with like a Pokemon joke in it, I guess.
Oh, I didn't get that.
We didn't hear
that. Yeah, because subs. Freya, you know, Hayate gives Freya an onigiri.
Right.
The little rice.
Oh, right, the Japanese donut thing.
Yeah, and so she's like, oh, thanks for the Japanese donut in the subtitles, which I guess is a reference to the way Pokemon used to...
I didn't get that from it, but I can see...
Photoshop, like whenever they had onigiri in it, they would change it to donuts.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't think... They didn't even Photoshop it in Pokemon, they just called it donuts.
I saw a clip of it, and in later ones they actually changed.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, initially they showed like just the onigiri, which, you know, looks like a triangle, which is why it's an onigiri, because oni have the horns. So yes, it's a triangle shaped thing. There's the theme again, and you know,
Delta's
it's
ripping
rice,
off onigiri.
It's rice covered with seaweed, and usually has like some kind of fish or something inside it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see what is very obviously the onigiri, and one of the Pokemon guys is saying, "Oh, I love donuts. Jelly-filled's my favorite." It's like, this doesn't look anything like a jelly donut. So yeah, I think the fan subbers were making a reference to that.
Okay.
Other than that, the fan sub that came out,
it gets the point across.
Yeah.
It gets the point across. It's not great. It could be a lot better.
Let's do a fan sub. You and me, Richard. Come on.
No, I don't want to do that anymore.
So I'll work on a fan dub.
Yeah. So once the fan sub came up, then suddenly all of the negative reviews started coming in.
Really? I actually got the opposite. Most of the people were like, oh man, this sucks. And then they saw the fan sub and they're like, okay, we're going to give this a chance. This is what I got.
It seemed like at first when the fan sub came out, it became much more negative. And then over the last couple days, it switched over.
And the reviews for this anime have just been all over the place. It's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's kind of weird. It was like it feels like we've gone through two cycles of backlashes in a week.
Yeah, it's really a roller coaster ride. It really is. I mean, I remember this from Frontier when it first came out. I remember kind of reading the same type of responses,
right?
But not in this ferocity.
I mean,
this is just—it's insane. It's just back and forth.
It's like if Seven were released today.
Right.
With, you know, the access of the internet. Which actually makes me think about something. This is kind of a tangent, but if you look at the Delta emblem, it's two sevens put together.
I thought it was two of the boomerang things.
Well, details.
Yeah, and, well, yeah,
it could be sevens, yeah.
It's also 20 years after Dynamite 7.
No, it isn't.
You're drunk. Go home.
No, Dynamite 7 was 2047. This is 2067.
Oh, I thought you meant in the real world.
No. Yeah, okay. In universe. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So maybe.
Like, man, we're in the future.
So maybe a 30-year-old Elma will show up?
Or an aged Bosserut.
Well, we've already got Mirage Genus. She has to be a genus. I'm thinking Maximilia's granddaughter.
I'm thinking so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Millie is kind of a monster for having the seven kids, as Mulane said at one point.
Yeah.
Wow, Mom, you're a monster. I can't believe she was still having children into her 60s.
Yeah.
So I think this is a granddaughter. But,
Amelia's daughter.
By Basra.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Yep.
Totally.
Confirmed.
Yeah, but, and they may just... They may just keep dangling that. They may never actually address it or resolve it.
Oh, they'll pull an Aegis Fokker with us like they did
for exactly.
X2, too, yeah.
Yeah, or like Elmo Krudanik, Ranka's manager.
Wait, his last name is Krudanik?
Yes.
Oh my god.
So he, yeah. Is this like super, super big news?
No, I just didn't know that, and now okay. I do, so... Yeah.
So he may be related to Britai, but we don't know. Or, of course, there's always Edgar LaSalle.
Oh, right, right. Claudia's...
I just chalked it up to either, like, cousin or brother or something. It doesn't matter too much. It doesn't have any barrier. See, the thing is, none of these, like, quote-unquote relations have much impact... it doesn't have much impact on the overall story.
Right.
So they're pretty negligible overall. They're fun to think about, but, you know, it's not going to make or break a story.
The point is that Macross is notorious for pulling this, so we're predicting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my prediction that, not 100% prediction, but they might prepare yourself for the idea that they might never actually explain whose daughter Mirage is.
And then... Watch. They'll just bring Max in one episode. He's an old man, and it'll be great.
Well, they did get Sho Hayami to narrate the special about Macross.
Oh,
each Macross thus far that I've seen... Okay, never mind, ignore me. I was going to say that, like, a lot of them do have, like, that special cameo. Not all of them.
Not to a point where it's breaking the plot.
Right. Well, what I'm just saying is that they might throw in something like... I'm predicting Cheryl or Ronka is going to show up, at least in the background.
I don't know. I mean, I saw one forum where people were talking about that. But I think one of the reasons... Because this is not set near the center of the galaxy. This is set
far
Forgot
about
on the
that.
Outer rim.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they settled a planet.
Right.
You know, and...
Several, actually.
Right. And this is... So Frontier actually landed on the Vajra planet, and that's where they stayed. And that's near the center of the galaxy. This is way, way out in the boonies. Even if Cheryl is on tour, I can't really imagine her...
Going that far.
Yeah. Good point.
Well... They might have fold crystals, so maybe now they can.
Yeah, maybe they all have fold quartz, so they can go there instantaneously, and it's no problem.
And there's also that mysterious Lady M we've been hearing about.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
Lady M.
Lady M. Lady M, who is apparently in charge of Valkyr.
It could totally just stand for Lady Mikimo. Just watch them pull that.
You know, I probably, but I would hope they would do something a little less half-assed than that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Lady Minmay?
No, not that. Not that epic.
Lady Milen?
That I could potentially see.
Lady Misa?
Well, no, they're off doing things in another
Lady
dimension.
Lady Mune?
Maybe.
I could say she was a manager, a stage manager at one point. How old would she be now?
It's only, like, what, 27 years later? So she'd be, like, in her 50s or 60s?
Plausible.
We're probably overthinking this right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we're overthinking this.
But it's still fun to think about.
Yeah. That's Delta in a nutshell.
It's Delta. Here's a tagline. It's fun to think about.
See, you know what? These are the little things that made it fun, like, as you watched it. More and more, you started picking up these little tiny hints here and there that, like, okay, wait a second. You know, yeah, like
this is
like
exactly
like
the
short little scene where they show the stairs leading up in that mysterious song that's making everybody go nuts.
No, it's time. You know,
for lack of a
yeah, so today in a group, Gwen said something about like, wow, this is the best Macross 2 sequel ever. I was like, wow, don't you mean it's really a Macross 2 prequel?
You know, they're probably like, I'm not saying they're probably going to do this, but it would be really funny if it really turned out to be that way. Like, they just totally blindside everybody.
Right.
We've already discussed that Kawamori hasn't seen Macross 2, right?
I
doubt that.
Yeah, no, that was in an interview that I think, if I recall correctly, I might be mistaken, but I think it was like in Animerica in the early 90s.
Oh, a long time ago then.
So,
okay, it's potential then, potential.
Yeah. I don't remember if he said that when we saw him at the talk show in like a year and a half ago.
Right.
That will definitely be the biggest mind screw ever.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if I said it earlier, but I was telling Richard that, you know, if all of a sudden that one ship that ends up, you know, all those Zentradi that end up going crazy, they end up getting cured, and then they end up taking off with their cargo. They end up going off somewhere else in the galaxy. And who catches them? The Mardu. Stubborn music and what it can do and what it did to them. And they create a music weapon.
Oh, I was thinking that the Marduk might actually be behind all of this. And which means that basically the entire cast will have to get killed. Or else they would like warn everybody. But since it's out on the outer rim, nobody would know. So like everyone who you see in this first episode is going to die by the end.
They are Zentradi.
I mean, Freya, Hayate, Mirage, everyone, and then
the fans grit. Here you go.
Yes. Here's the hardcore grit.
Yes.
Speaking of hardcore grit, Destroids. They last what? 2 seconds?
12? I think they made 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't Kawamori said that there was going to be a change in tone pretty soon?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, okay. And, so we have potential for grit.
Yeah. No, I think it will be that way. I mean, again, I think that the magical girl stuff is not
the focus?
The tone of the show.
Mm-hmm. So I had this like theory that Kawamori released this early for the sake of scaring off the original Macross fans. So you're like, are they gone? Okay, let's do Macross.
Yeah, if that was the plan, it seems to be working admirably. even in Japan, I mean, it seems like.
I was going to ask, yeah, what's the verdict in Japan?
It looks like the people who have kind of stayed in touch with Macross and kind of knew what to expect are pleased with it. And then people who haven't seen it in a long time are upset. So basically it's the same. It's the same as it is in the West.
Huh. Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Jason, you said you wanted to break our review down into categories. I think that was a good idea.
Yeah, why don't we do that? So why don't we... Okay, I mean, we kind of got our general
overview.
Overview and our theories and everything out there. Why don't we start off with... why don't we start off with the plot overall? Like, what...
Well, we don't know much about it yet. I mean, and...
We got a pretty good idea thus far. There's the VAR, and there's mm-hmm. people combating the VAR. That's a pretty mm-hmm. good. That's a strong plot thus far.
Yeah. So the VAR is this disease caused by a song that makes people go crazy, and Valkyr, the superdimensional Venus, are the idol group that fights off the effects of this.
So my first question, like, I love the concept. My first question was, like, how far spread is the VAR? Is the Valkyrie, how do you pronounce it?
Valkyrie.
Valkyrie?
Well, they do pronounce the...
Valkyrie.
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 Think of it like this. It's the VAR syndrome, and they're the cure.
Valkyrie.
They're the Valkyrie.
That's cute.
Yeah.
So I guess my question is, how widespread is the VAR cure, the VAR, to the point where that one idol group can handle it?
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if there aren't, like, several units of Valkyrie around the galaxy.
Well, yeah, you've got the jamming birds fighting again. You got, you know, the Milky Dolls working together again. They're making comebacks.
You saw Firebomber.
This is all a ploy to bring back every single idol group we've ever had.
Oh my god, if they all come together at the end, ugh.
It'd be like the giant Macross crossover.
That really will be like AKB48.
We'll call it Macross over. Don't look at me like that.
Breaking up with you.
Kyle, what did you think?
Of the plot?
Yeah. Well, it's... First of all, we know what is good and what is bad, which is something I will totally give it points for over Frontier, because we didn't really know a lot about the...
The Vajra?
Well, we didn't know who was pulling the strings. I mean, I guess that's kind of the point, but it didn't really have a good identity for the villain. Whereas in this, we know somebody is singing, it's messing people up, and then there's a team that is trying to stop it. It is very clear.
And there's a team that is trying to stop them.
So yes. I actually have the theory that the Knights are trying to stop Valkyrie because they are under the assumption that they're the ones starting the VAR, is my prediction. So I think
that
there's going
like
to be...
That seems like that would be pretty easily solved.
Yeah. I don't know. It's anime. They pull that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
People don't like to talk in anime when they should, and that would probably cut the season.
You know, there's not too much time for radio banter when you're pulling off stunts like episode one. You saw what they were doing, all those G's they were pulling? There's no time for radio chatter.
That is something I really was impressed by in episode one. At first, I was kind of like overwhelmed by the speed at which everything happened, but I did go back and I rewatched it, and... Everybody, I recommend this to everybody. If the first time you don't get everything, go back and rewatch it. Because all the dogfight choreography, all the, you know, the action and all even the pacing itself is a lot better on your second time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I'll concur with that because that's actually why I warmed up to it. Because at first, I didn't really like the execution of Valkyrie because... You know, they were out there, all this stuff was happening, there was a dogfight, and then that's part of the course for Macross, but just so much was happening, and they were kind of shaking it off like nothing was happening, that I felt that you know, this is not natural, this is not how people would react in this situation. And then I went back and I saw, no, they're not just shaking it off, you know, Ray and Machina are getting hurt, you know, there's a lot more to it than...
And the boomerangs are jumping in when you least expect them.
Yeah, and then the boomerangs aren't invincible either. They need backup power, magnetic force, battery replacements. So it's, I guess my first time I watched it, there was just so much going on, and I felt, wow, these people are invincible, and I don't like that. And then I went back, and they're not.
Right,
they're very reliant on their technology.
There's flaws in there, and they were acknowledging that, but it was just all really hard to take in the first episode.
Same thing with the dogfight. It was really confusing at first.
It's just so hard to take, and I think that's Kawamori's plan. I think he wants to overwhelm you, and he's like, this is what I have to offer. If you can take this, you can take the rest of the show.
Right. Yeah, and then, like, I'm guessing episode two will kind of, you know, slow down and kind of explain, okay... This is why this is happening. This is what.
Yeah, two
this
and three
is.
Will probably be like explanations, I'm thinking. Not explanations, but a slowdown
a
in
breakdown,
pace.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I think with the first episode, because it's so fast paced, I think it kind of muddles the plot a little bit. to where it's really hard to understand what exactly is going on and who's who. And it's just, you're thrown in, basically everything is thrown in your face so fast that you can't really digest everything on the first watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed it just because, you know, it's Macross, you know, I'm kind of familiar with, you know, everything. I mean, I've been into this for a long time, but it took like, I think the third watch to really get everything that is going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Second by second, scene by scene, to where you're like, okay, now I see why this is happening and why these people are going here, why this is, you know. So it's one of those things that it takes a while. And I think that might be why we're also seeing a lot of these people, this roller coaster, people hating it and then seeming to like it and hating it and seeming to like it. And
it's some of the same people too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, me. I didn't like it and then I liked it.
Yeah, but you weren't like.
I wasn't on the hate train. I was skeptical.
You didn't like despise it with every fiber.
You had your foot on the hate train, and just as it was about to leave.
Stop it. I was nowhere near the hate train. I was just very. I was skeptical. And when I saw it the first time, I was still skeptical. And then the second, third, fourth, fifth. I want to watch it again.
So, I feel Annika, like there's things I did miss. Who's your favorite character?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Freya.
Okay, why?
Her expressions.
Okay.
Just her
expressions. She is extremely expressive.
And I was really shocked to find out that there was a lot of hate revolving around that. Are we moving on to character category?
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen a lot of people saying that Freya was too over the top, that she didn't feel natural, that she felt more like a cartoon character than she felt like a real character.
Oh my God, I wonder why.
What are you talking about? Yeah. These are real people.
Yeah. People said the same thing about Ranka because of the
hair.
Because of the hair.
I love her hair. That's my favorite part about Ranka.
The part where she tilts her hair and the hair stays up until her
Annika gets caught. Annika, you forget, you're able to have an imagination. You're able to have fun.
So, there was a lot of people just saying that Freya was a little over the top. She was annoying. She was all over the place. I love that in a character. And
she was very expressive. She wasn't boring. Okay, people are comparing her a lot to Ranka, I've noticed.
Yeah, and I don't get that.
Well,
I get it
from a design standpoint, because she does have kind of a similar like hairstyle overall, and she's, you know, a young little like 16-year-old roughly girl. But the thing about
she's 14.
Same difference. Anyway, the thing about Freya that's completely different from Ranka and sets them apart is that Freya is confident. She knows what she wants to do, and she's excitable, and she's, you know, happy-go-lucky. Whereas Ranka was very reserved. She was like that.
She relied on Alto to get her confidence.
Yeah.
And that's where the love triangle spawned from, where I didn't get any of that from Freya and Hayate. I do predict the love triangle, if there is one, is going to be Freya, Hayate, and Mirage.
Will be one, but again, the Kawamori mentioned that the triangle in Delta is not connected. As you said, it looks like two sevens. Right.
Well, so again, in seven,
that was kind of symbolic for the fact that the love triangle might not play out
right
the way you would expect it to.
Going back to the plot really quickly, I feel like there's a bit of a circle going on, because Macross Zero, they put a lot of emphasis on the mecha themselves. They got all that beautiful texturing that they did. And they put, I don't know, I felt like Zero.
That was all Tengen.
I know, just Tengen. I love, that guy's amazing. And I feel like the big thing that stood out to me in Zero was the mecha. The plot was okay, the love triangle was okay, and I didn't even really get that, whatever. The point is, I love the mecha in that show. Mm-hmm. Whereas Macross Frontier, I felt like most of the emphasis came from the love triangle. Like, that was the big selling point of, in fact, the cover of the movies was who was going to marry Alto. And so now I think we've come full circle. So we've done emphasis on the mecha. We've done emphasis on the love triangle. The last thing to put emphasis on is the singing. And I feel like that's what they're going to do with this show. It's going to be seven. This is where the seven part comes in. They're going to put a lot of emphasis on this, on the idols for this. And that's my prediction. I don't know. Does that guy, that kind of make sense? That the three elements of Macross are coming together.
Right. Yeah, no, I could see that happening. Yeah. Definitely.
Taking care of
Kyle?
Yo.
What about you? Favorite character?
Oh, God. Mirage is my girl, first of all.
Okay.
She's...
Akina for life.
Okay, that's fair. What? What?
Go on. Go on.
Okay. And I really like her. Hayate is also kind of intriguing because some people have pointed out that he's just another Alto Saotome.
I have called him Alto 2.0, but it is all in jest.
Right. He's got the blue hair and he's, you know, kind of apathetic to most things. But the thing about him is that Alto knew what he wanted to do, whereas Hayate doesn't.
Yeah.
He's not even looking for a calling. He just doesn't care.
Feel like Alto and
Hayate. I think he'll be getting one soon enough.
Oh, yes.
I think Hayate and Alto are opposites because Alto knew what he liked, but his execution was the most boring thing I've ever seen. Whereas Hayate doesn't know what he wants, but I'm intrigued by him. I'm interested in him. I want to see him get that thing that, because he seems sad that he doesn't have his passion, which we know is going to be piloting a Valkyrie, just call it, you know. Right. Since he likes to dance, he's going to be a dancer in a Valkyrie.
Well, that'll also probably come into the choreographed flying and whatnot, which I personally...
Hey, that's a ripoff of Macross the Musiculture, where the two guys wanted to be dancers.
Oh. A lot of people... probably don't know too much about music culture because it was shown on stage and it was never released on like DVD or anything.
And it was only shown in one theater for 8 days.
Yeah. So Richard, why don't you tell us a little bit about music culture and how it is kind of connected to that?
Oh, well, you have the two guys there. I mean, the love triangle is two guys fighting over one girl.
Mm-hmm.
And they both want to be dancers.
That's an interesting thing for two guys to want at the same time.
Yes.
Whatever.
And
that's how they rule.
To fight over a girl in the midst of that.
Yeah, so they're...
Dance on.
Yeah.
You gotta dance fight me!
So they're practicing to be dancers. And a Rogue Zen Trotty guy comes in and shoots the hero's leg. And so he gets a mechanical leg, but he can never be a dancer again. So, because this was the backstory
to
it. That they had wanted to be dancers, and then he got shot in the leg. And then the other guy, who is a Zen Trotty, because it's almost like this... Like, I don't know, kind of skinhead group, Neo Zentron. No, I mean, this is what it is. It's like, there's this like Zentron power group that started up. And so the guy that shot the hero's leg was a member of this Neo Zentron. And his friend, who he had been trying to be a dancer with, that friend ends up becoming the leader of Neo Zentron.
Oh, GG. Okay.
So they stop talking after that.
All I'm hearing is Neo Zeon every time you say that.
Victory for the Space Noids.
No. Neo Zeon is very different and has more lolis in it.
What about you guys? What are... sorry. Continue, Richard.
Oh, yeah. So anyway... So both like the guy whose leg got shot off and the leader of Neo Zeon are fighting over this one girl.
Did you say Neo Zeon?
I've planted the seed.
Oh, you didn't. Damn it. Okay, Neo Zentron. I would have gotten away with it if it weren't for you meddling kids. So back to Delta. The Valkyrie dancing did kind of remind me of music culture, but I'm probably the only one who was reminded.
Well, who are your favorite characters?
Well, I like I like Machina.
Oh, Machina.
So far. I mean, it's kind of too early because we haven't really seen many of them do anything.
So my first impressions of Machina is I thought, remember how you said that you felt it was supposed to be kind of a spoof of Magical Girls?
Yeah.
First thing Machina derived from me was Modica Magica.
Mm-hmm.
She looks just like her. And then the person who was introduced, I think, right after Machina was Kaname. And mm-hmm. Modica's last name is Kaname.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was Modica Kaname. So I was like, is this a reference? Is this really going to be a Magical Girl show? And then, lo and behold, episode one is like this giant spoof of Magical Girl. Well, not really.
Yeah. I can literally just see Kawamori being like, you know what we're going to do this time, guys? All right, so we're going to get Magical Girls, right? Because nobody's going to expect that we're going to put Magical Girls in Macross, right?
They're not Magical Girls.
Except they won't be Magical Girls. They'll be like Magical...
Super Scientific Girls.
Yeah.
There you go.
Over technology girls.
Yes. Over technology girls. Yes. No, Machina kind of got me when she saw the Regults.
Mm, and she's like, and, she's a little.
And she's like, ah, Regult-chan. And I was like, okay, I like this one.
She's a little gearhead, it seems.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, that is really the only scene that gave her any personality.
Right.
Of course, Mikumo got the big badass break out of a pile of rubble and attack a Quadlin Roe head-on scene. So she's pretty cool. Kaname and Reina, we really don't know anything about so far.
We know that Reina is most likely Zentron, or at least has Zentron blood in her, because there's a scene where we see her with pointy ears.
Right.
And she's very apathetic about everything, but she apparently really likes sashimi.
Yeah, when she danced, she actually shows emotion. That's the only time in the episode that she really shows any sort of life in her.
You know there's probably going to be like an episode devoted to each character and expanding.
Obviously. Right.
Yeah, and the pilots we really don't know at all either.
Right. We know that there's
Mirage,
and then we know there's a Rastafarian fishman.
Right.
Jar Jar, you mean?
Well, the thing that's kind of talking about subverting expectations, the first time I saw him, I thought he looked like the Kakizaki of the group. The fact that they called him the mood maker in his character description, which I think is like a Japanese only term. I'd never heard it before then. But do you know what a mood maker is?
No.
A mood maker?
Yes.
Is it someone who like livens up everybody and gets them all energized for like parties and stuff? Is that it?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Like the life of the party.
Okay.
So it's kind of weird because, you know, I'm doing my Macross Rewatch blog right now where I go on at excruciating length about stuff in the show. It's goobablog at wordpress.com. If I'd been smarter, I would have just picked goobablog.
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 When Kakizaki was introduced, I referred to him as the mood maker of the group. And this was before they started releasing the character, the Delta character sheets.
Mm-hmm.
So when they said that he was the mood maker of the Delta team, I was like, God, he looks like Kakizaki. And they even used the same term that I used. And yeah, not for the first time, actually. No, seriously. And the fact that he's the one who rescues Mirage Genus in this episode is pretty weird.
It's almost like they're trying to...
Game changer.
Well, it's like they're trying to give Kakizaki some reverence or something.
Right.
All the payback after all those years.
Right.
He's going to finish his steak.
If he's really a fish man, why is he eating jellyfish?
Dude, I don't know.
I actually got more of an Edgar feeling from him.
You know, those gill things are probably just tattoos.
Oh, okay.
I'm guessing. But yeah, no.
I don't know. The first time I saw him, I didn't think Kakazaki. I thought Edgar from Macross Zero, just from his expressions alone.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Edgar was the mood maker, I guess. Mm-hmm. Hmm.
I'm like an ugly man chasing after a beautiful woman. No matter how terrible you are to me, I'll keep following you.
That was sad.
He didn't even get to fly out at the end. He'd broken his leg.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. Jason, how about you? Who do you like?
Oh, gosh. I'm actually kind of torn. I mean, I would say I absolutely love Freya for the expressions.
Mm.
I mean,
you could tell they were having a lot of fun with her.
Yeah, and just
animation ball.
She is actually really I forgot her name, the voice actress.
Oh, Minoru Suzuki.
She is really good. I mean, the way she does the
It is her very first role.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
She used to work.
I mean, just the talking from like when she's found in the crate.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, to crying, and all of a sudden she starts talking again really fast, and all of a sudden I'm so hungry, you know.
Right.
It's great, and I love every one of those expressions. I think
the mayor said that you needed to go get a husband because you're already 14, and I was all like, "No way!" And then he was all like, "She's so cute."
I think we found the English voice actress for her.
Yeah. Quick, get Harmony Gold on the phone because I. That they picked it up.
Live action, full of grit.
Oh no! Didn't you hear Anamaru? Anamaru said that they've already got the rights. Let's do this.
Right. Yes. Yeah. If anyone who's listening to this, I would imagine anyone listening to this already knows. But yeah, Anime Maru, which is like the Onion of anime news sites. Posted something saying that Harmony Gold had picked up Delta, and no, it's not true. But I was the one who saw that and was like, okay, everyone, let's share the shit out of this thing.
Let's share the out of this thing.
Let's share the out of this thing.
Jason, you said you were torn. Who were you torn over? Freya and Mikumo?
Yeah. Only and Mikumo only because she is probably the closest thing to Cheryl.
I got a lot of Cheryl vibes from her.
And I can hear my wife Cheryl laughing in the background as I say that.
No, yeah, when she first showed up in the disguise with the green hair, she looked like Cheryl. And then when her first line, she sounded almost exactly like Cheryl too.
Exactly. You know what? And even the walk and her mannerisms in the animation,
the sunglasses is a direct reference to Cheryl's getup in episode 2, isn't it?
Well, technically, that getup was a reference to Minmay and Do You Remember Love?
But
I think we haven't given Kaname much love yet.
Well, we haven't.
No, show didn't give her much love.
I was actually going to talk about her just after that because I actually think she is. In anime terms, I think she's actually one of the prettier out of all the idols.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Pretty
drawn. I think she is.
Thus far, I think she's in competition with Makina as the most bland for me. Not bland is a bad word. Her design doesn't stand out to me just yet. And I think through character development, I'll become warmer to her.
I do kind of like the bit when. Oh, what's the ace pilot's name? Messer?
Yeah.
She thumbs up.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he, like, saves her and then, like, kind of looks at her and then she gives him the thumbs up. That was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. I like that too.
That's about the only thing that she actually does. She
thumbed up for episode 1.
That's really probably the only thing Messer does, too.
Yeah. And a lot of the fans who didn't like this show at first are now saying that he's their favorite character, which
that's because he got all that.
He's the not Max,
right?
So one thing I noticed is that when Freya has lots of really intense emotions, her little rune, I think she called it a rune glows, her little hair accessory. So she becomes like this little anglerfish when she gets really happy or upset.
Well, also
which all of the Windermere people have.
Yes.
Yes, which was my next thing, as we noticed that all of the pilots that are piloting the Drakens have. So it must be a species thing.
Very technically, it could be. It could also be an implant, like from Galaxy. We don't know yet. They're probably a species thing. It's still not confirmed or anything. It's all speculation until we actually know for sure. But
well, in a lot of Macross series, when they introduce new species, they always have some sort of like animal or some sort of thing that they're connected with.
Right.
Like even in 7, okay, Milan actually has Gubaba.
Mm-hmm.
Which
you're
is
a lucky man.
Yes.
But she has him that and they make like this, you know, this sort of connection where when she gets mad, you know, she may not show, but his eyes, you know, show this anger. You know,
don't worry, this is how I always look.
Yeah, Gubaba shows the audience what Milan is always really thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it seems like that's something that every Macross heroine has to have now. You know, it's like Elma had the Cappy in Dynamite 7.
Right.
Bronca has the ears.
She's got
the phone.
She's got Icun.
Oh, and Icun.
Yeah, she did get Icun.
Yeah, she got Icun.
And even
Icun never really showed stuff what she was thinking.
May has
the weasel, the ferret.
Oh, yes. You're just talking about the about
little
pets.
Companions.
Yeah,
yeah.
Dimensional ferret.
Yes, he was cool. I liked him.
Although he seemed. I was going to say he seems to have vanished from Macross the First recently, but I realized that Macross the First seems to have vanished.
Yeah.
So does that mean that...
It means Mikimoto is doing things that are taking up too much of his time, like that new anime series coming out I don't remember the name of. Great.
Well, Mikimoto did the character designs for a different show, which surprised me, because I always thought that the problem with Mikimoto's designs is that they're too complicated for television animation.
Mm.
I mean, you can see it in the original Macross.
I don't know. The designs for Valkyr thus far are quite complicated.
Well, he didn't do the designs for them.
I know. I'm saying know. That, you know, they are complicated, so I don't know. I can't see him doing anything worse than that.
Yeah, no, it's more about, like, Mikimoto characters are hard to draw unless you're Mikimoto.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, Macross the First character designs seem a little less complicated than they would have been, say, in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you don't draw noses. That's kind of, you know, a big
thing. Right. But the thing is, throughout, like, Macross 7 and Titania, you had Mikimoto design the original characters.
Right.
And then you had someone go over and simplify them.
Yeah, 7 really kind of shows that off as well, too.
Yeah. So I thought they just weren't... Nobody was hiring him as a character designer just because his stuff is too hard to replicate.
Yeah.
So I was really surprised that this new series was coming with him. And then, of course, a lot of the old school fans are like, wait a second, if he's designing characters for this, why didn't he do Delta?
You know, honestly, I can't see Mikimoto designs in something like this. It seems... I don't know if this is
He's
correct.
The idol fan.
I know, it's just... I'm just trying to imagine Macross the First designs in these situations, and it just... You know what I mean? It just doesn't seem to... I can't picture it.
So, I have a question.
What's up?
Yes.
In Macross 7... We had evil space vampires that sucked off the spirit of other people, which we called Spiritia. Mm-hmm. And Basra and the Sound Force guys were sent out specifically to combat this evil space-sucking vampire, Spiritia-sucking vampire species with their own Spiritia. And so spirit just seemed to be this big thing that, you know, that Macross 7 was trying to
impose.
And it seems like when Freya was talking about the colors of people's sound, it felt it had a very strong spiritual vibe. How come Spiritia hasn't really been brought up in the past in these past couple Macrosses? Because Macross Frontier was all about fighting with Spiritia, and this seems to be about fighting with Spiritia.
Yeah, they never really name it by name anymore.
They don't call it Spiritia anymore. But
and they don't tell us how many Chiba song units anyone is anymore either.
They should go back to that. I really enjoyed that.
I'm just saying that it seems like we have all these things that are callbacks to Spiritia, but it seems like they're afraid to say the word Spiritia now.
I remember that with Macross Zero when that was coming out, like when the rocks floated and in episode 2, and we had to wait like 6 months for episode 3, and a bunch of people on Macross World were saying, oh, Sara is obviously Anima Spiritia.
Well, like, no.
Well, maybe, but
yeah.
They didn't say that.
Oh, no, that was just magic.
Yeah.
You know what I think? And I don't know, this might just be my own theory, but I think it's just because of the size of the galaxy that some of the science probably doesn't get to every colony that's out there.
Especially since, as we saw in FB7, people on Frontier have no idea what happened to the Macross 7 fleet.
Well, that, and they're also still able to use VHS tapes in 2059.
Well, okay.
Yeah. So your prediction is that the word Spiritia just hasn't been capitalized.
I think that, and I mean, even with the Chiba units, mm-hmm. I think, you know, you've got one scientist on Macross 7. You know, obviously we know how their story ended. You know, who's to say that you know, that his science, you know, it was probably being discovered around the same time. I mean, there are theories, you know, where humanity kind of discovers the same things at the same time, no matter where they're at.
Right.
So
and the news just doesn't travel always. Yeah,
it just doesn't sense. Travel.
You know, the galaxy is a big place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's just my theory.
I feel like it just chalks up to the whole Calmore idea of every Macross is its own thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to...
Everything, you know, and nothing is canon.
Well, that, and, you know, it doesn't have to coincide with everything else that came before it. Like, you don't want to sacrifice storytelling for, you know, keeping continuity with something that came out 10 years before.
That's very true.
Well, and Arthur C. Clarke in the foreword to the third Space Odyssey book.
2061?
Yeah, said something really good about that, where he said, you know, each book kind of has to be thought of as being set in its own universe, just because technological advances and advances in science have kind of rendered each of the previous books a little out of date.
Right.
So, you know, he wants to incorporate the newest stuff in it. So the fact that nobody in Macross has cell phones until Frontier.
They're kind of changing that with Macross the First, though, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Macross the First isn't considered canon because it's written by Miki.
Well, everything and nothing, Annika. We've been over this.
It's all supposed to be as valid. Everything's supposed to be as valid as everything else.
Just watch the damn cartoon and enjoy it.
Just repeat to yourself, it's just a show.
Just pretend that everybody's using a cell phone camera. Somewhere.
Yeah.
Except for the stories where it's all... If someone had had a cell phone or an answering machine, the plot would not have happened.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
what were we talking about? We were talking about music, right?
Oh, did we switch to music? Okay, yeah, let's go to music.
Yeah.
I think the music improved as it went along.
There wasn't too much to work with, though. We had, like, what, 2 songs?
There are 3 songs, and each one was markedly better than the previous one.
That's fair.
I just posted a post on Macross Fans US today that I really, really disliked the music when I my first watch through. And then my second watch through, I liked it a bit better. And then my third watch through, I liked it a little bit better. And now I can't get the songs out of my head. And now I love them almost as much as I like Frontier songs. Although Frontier songs will always have the nostalgic value for me, but...
Right. Ike and I Borderline is one of the catchiest tunes I've heard since Frontier.
I, like, used it. I hated that. And then... And now I love it, because it's just like, those trumpets, man.
And the crunchy horns in the middle.
Yeah.
In the full-length version.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a straight throwback to big-time ska days back like in the 90s.
Save Ferris.
I will always make that reference, because I used to watch that band, like, when they would come and play shows down here. And band Save Ferris. Great female vocalist, awesome. I mean, they retired, but she was a great singer too.
Yeah.
And she kind of had that like full voice too, like Ekeneb Borderline has, the exact same type of voice.
So my one issue with now that I love it, my one issue is with the songs in this show was that we obviously see some of the singers stop singing to yell orders at the Valkyrie pilots. So does that mean that they just timed their cue when they're not singing to give people, to give them, or when they get like shot down, the song still goes on? Is that just like Mikumo covering their part as she's still singing as they're getting
How
hit?
How did Cheryl and Ranka do the incredibly complex duet at the end of Macross Frontier without any rehearsals at all?
You don't know that. They could have rehearsed.
When Ranka was captured aboard the Macross Galaxy.
They were feeling the music.
Yeah, they believed in themselves. And they
Spiritia.
Spiritia, yeah.
Okay.
Spiritia can be used to explain the music. Any plot hole.
Yeah. Well, just like in Macross 7, I never understood if Basara was actually playing the guitar while flying as Valkyrie, or if that was just what the control looked like.
I always thought it was the control.
I just rolled with it. It's flying a Valkyrie with a guitar.
Yeah, you gotta roll with that.
You just gotta roll with it, man.
For a more actual serious answer to Richard's question... One of the things, whenever Ranka and Cheryl did duets, unless it was purely stated to be a Ranka original, I always assumed that the songs were Cheryl's that Ranka had already memorized by heart, because she was such a huge Cheryl fangirl.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's fine with What About My Star.
Right, yeah.
But I'm talking about the big medley at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they combined a bunch of things. Yeah, you're right.
That's exactly it. They didn't know what they were going to do, so they just started singing everything they could, and they just kind of flowed together.
And just kind
you
of
want to sing What About My Star? No, I wanted to sing Elixir. Damn it!
It's like, wait, stop. This is my song. This is my song.
That also brings up the point where who composed the background music, or the instrumental.
Guys, this isn't Yamato. Yeah. Not everything has an answer.
Hey, you know, I'm just saying...
You brought it up, Annika.
I know, you're right. You cornered me. But, you know, I can buy the magic of being a musical lover. I can buy the magic of knowing what the other person's going to sing. The magic of being able to continue singing while you're being shot out of a building, not so much.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
It was awesome regardless.
No, I loved it. I have the headcanon that they're lip-syncing.
Probably.
It's all just pre-recorded and being blared out of the Valkyries things, and then they're just there to lip sync it.
You know, if I was stuck in that building in Die Hard, I would still be singing. It would still be running through my head, and I would be singing all the way through. I would. That's how catchy that damn song is.
Yeah. I think we've lost Annika. Yeah.
That was an amazing image. I just saw you, like, doing the whole slow-mo out of the building, too.
Are you okay? Anyway, it sounds like we're all pretty positive about the show.
Sorry,
yeah, the negative stuff, it's... You know, I kind of get where you're coming from. But... I think again, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it is people who either haven't kept up with Macross really.
Or stuck in the old ways.
Yeah, or haven't kept up with anime at all. Or who haven't watched stuff like the original Macross in a really long time.
Sorry.
And don't quite remember how goofy that show is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just finished watching it again, you know, just a couple days ago.
But there, people died in that show. That was like nothing you'd ever heard of in the 80s.
Right. In America.
Well, over here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you want gritty.
Watch Gundam.
Invincible Superman Zambot 3 from 1977. 23 episodes. You can get through it easily. You want some serious hardcore grit. That show is it.
Is this like Ideon tier grit or?
This is better than Ideon.
Oh boy.
Oh god.
Anyway. most of the negative feedback I've seen for Delta is really just the whole, oh, it's magical girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, other than the transformation sequences, which I think are tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
I don't really get a magical girl vibe. Except, well, I guess the girls are, like, in there actually, like, legit fighting the mechs.
Right.
Well, yeah, but it's not like they're using magical superpowers to change the tide. They're just...
They're just girls. They're not magical. They're yeah, technology they're girls. They're
kicking ass and singing. That's...
They have the magical ability of jet clusters in their skirts.
Which is an awesome reference to Frontier.
Yeah, I like that.
Right, which again is something... Yeah, that's right. I saw one person complaining about it by saying like, yeah, well they're jumping out from like really high up and yet they land and they're perfectly okay. And it's like, yeah, we saw jet skirts in Frontier. This is something that we have. All of the technology in this show seems to be, except for the boomerangs, seems to be stuff that we've seen before.
Right.
Did we see those little computers with the fingernails?
No, that's true. The fingernail computers are new.
I don't know. I mean, we...
That's not really...
Don't bite your nails.
Well, that's not too... Out of it's not too far.
It's not nothing, and nothing is all that far fetched after Frontier.
Yeah,
you know
that's easy technology compared to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like Grace sticking her arm into a gravity or a dimension eater and having it like explode into a bunch of like computer tentacles.
I was gonna use Grace as an example, but not the tentacle part. I was gonna say she can communicate with Brera, you know, silently. So you know what, finger phones, whatever.
Right.
But
it's the future. Roll with it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the boomerangs to me just seem like simple pinpoint barrier generators.
Yeah, they're just like little ghosts.
Yeah.
Right.
I am curious how the girls control them. I do see them making movements when they control them. So do you think it's it could be a musical cue, kind of like Bossarek with the guitar, or it could be a movement? Heck, maybe the girls have implants and they're multitasking the entire time.
I did find it funny, though, like after they would block a blast or an explosion, all of a sudden these like little sexy
those things
would come out and start dancing. Like,
I didn't think that was necessary, but
Annika, it's a show about transforming
robots.
That I thought
was a little over the top. I mean,
yeah.
Things like that, I can kind of see why people would kind of have some gripes. I mean, some of it's legit.
Okay. I will tell you, my biggest gripe with this episode thus far was the fact that people's lives were at stake. And yet, the Valkyries had time to do some choreographed, synchronized swimming.
Right.
That bugged me.
Okay.
And you know, and I can let that go. That was, you know, it was.
It's a minor nitpick.
Yeah, it was showing it off. It's their first, you know, their first episode. It's all like, yeah, we're here. In real, well, obviously, I can't compare it to real life, but you know, I just felt that there were pressing matters at the moment that didn't really need synchronized Valkyries posing.
Yeah.
Something I know, like, I can still see that being over the top and everything, but something I notice is that when they roll in and transform mid-barrel roll, it is, like, the exact same movements that you see in the opening of Macross 7 with the three Diamond Force 17s.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, when they kind of do that
when they come down on the desert.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly.
And then they transform to Batroid, like
They come down. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, didn't they? Yeah, they transformed to Batroid when they came down too, didn't they? Yeah. And then they did their freaking JoJo's Bizarre Adventure posing.
Right. Whatever. Well, to quote George Lucas, you know, it's like poetry, though. Every stanza rhymes with the last one.
Yeah, I get the reference. It bugged me, but I'm easy to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you looking forward to April?
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what? Not just... There's a lot of things coming out in April I'm looking forward to.
Why don't you go ahead and name a few of those wonderful things coming out in April?
What was the one I just mentioned today?
Macross Delta's coming out.
New Baby Metal album.
What's that?
New Baby Metal album. I think that comes out in April.
I think
April 1st, actually.
Phoenix Wright is getting a new anime. De Greyman season 2 is getting a new anime. Macross Delta is getting a new anime. You know, this is gonna be a great year for anime, and they're all coming.
The Flowers are coming out in April.
But we're not getting Shirobako 2 yet.
I still need to watch this.
Yo, you need to. That is the best show.
Okay, so we've talked about the characters, the plot, the music. What else is there to talk about? The Valkyries?
Yeah.
The Valkyries are awesome.
Yeah, I don't think we, other than my little nitpick about them doing synchronized dancing, which is going to obviously lead into Hayate wanting to join, I loved the Valkyries. No real complaints about the Valkyries.
Yeah, I have a few things to say about the 31 and the Draken. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the 31, as Kawamori stated, is like a culmination of everything that has worked really well for Valkyrie design. And it takes everything I love about the YF-30 from Macross 30, and it gives it forward swept wings. And personally, I still like the YF-30 more, but the 31 is a pretty sexy plane.
It would have been better to have the Macross 30, because the Macross 30 has delta wings.
You mean the YF-30?
Sorry, the YF-30.
Well, that aside...
We could have said, you know, Macross Delta.
Then you've got the SV-262 Draken 3, which I believe is one of the coolest, most unique Valkyrie designs we've seen probably since the YF-21.
Yeah.
And for one, I love the real-world Draken. Like, it is one of my favorite planes. And seeing it in Valkyrie form, I am just...
He's got, like, the biggest smile on his face right now.
He does.
We're looking at it. It's holding up the whole screen.
I can't wait to get every single one of the Draken releases. It's going to break my bank, and I'm going to be so happy. And
well, are there going to be 6, or are there only going to be 5? Because there are 5 in the poster... But there's 6 in the show, but there's one Aerial Knight of the Wind that was not in the character sheets that they were releasing.
It's going to be Hayate. That's the twist ending.
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. I think the guy who's
was
got
that the guy with the scars on his face?
Yeah, the guy with the scars on his face is probably not going to survive much longer, I don't think.
Eh. Everybody got quiet.
Everybody can survive.
A moment of silence.
Yes.
A moment of silence for Scar Guy.
Scarface.
Scarface.
But yeah, I mean, the Valkyries are pretty much always good.
I need to go back and watch it again, because I remember one of my huge things I was complaining about was the texturing...
On the Destroid.
But I think it was mostly the non-Valkyrie things.
Right.
The Destroids, the Quadlin Rouse, the...
The Wriggles.
As Renato pointed out, Tengen's not doing the texturing anymore.
And I get that, and that's fine, but I mean, I think I replied to Renato and I said there's a difference between being, you know, not being as good and being bad.
Well, right. Also, we need to keep in mind that this isn't the final version of the episode.
Yep, absolutely.
They still might have a few things to do.
I don't know. I'm wondering if these... I'm thinking that every scene we've seen is finished.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say about the Destroids not having the textures that, like, the Valkyries have is that they're kind of throwaway mecha.
That's true.
So I can see where they would like maybe cut a few corners with them because we only see them for like 12 seconds before they blow up. And if you look at Frontier, the Cheyennes have probably about the same level of texturing. It's just that there's more explosions to mask them.
Right.
I guess the reason I didn't like them is that they felt like almost like a bad Photoshop on. You know, it's like the lighting on the, I don't even know what it was, the lighting, the texturing, something about it made it look like it didn't belong there.
The models.
I noticed that when they first showed the ship that Freya is stowing away on.
Yeah.
Because they show it up really close, you know, and then it kind of goes into the back scene, and it's just, it's not jarring, but you can definitely tell that it's a lower quality than the animation that you see prior to that. And so, I mean, you can tell that it's there, and I don't know if it'll be fixed either.
But yeah,
it's not bad. It's not a
game breaker. But
yeah. I feel like they probably, I'm not going to say they rushed this, but they were trying to meet a deadline, and that stuff in production, I can imagine being very, not throwaway, but very,
the first thing to
unimportant.
Yeah.
The cutting costs.
And they might fix it up for the Blu-ray.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. They might, you know, add a few earrings on a table too. And
well, some of the Frontier episodes were changed considerably.
Really? Oh, yeah.
Broadcast version to the Blu-ray version.
I didn't know this.
Cheryl's concert, in episode 6, where Ronka is like late and like running down the hill after it's already started and everything.
Where Alto has her earring.
Is that the one prior to like that big battle?
Yeah, it's like, it's where she sings Infinity, I think.
Okay. That's what she sings during the battle, though.
No, that you're right. Maybe she's singing Diamond Crevasse.
Yes.
But she's got purple hair, and I think she was wearing like a black dress or something.
I remember this.
And her face and her hair are completely different in the Blu-ray.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is weird, because I remember seeing the broadcast version, and I didn't really... It didn't stick out to me as being bad, but then I saw the DVD and it was like, oh, huh, they changed it.
Well, I mean, they do that quite a lot, I can imagine. I mean, like, look at the 2004 Area 88 release.
Mm-hmm.
They changed so much from the broadcast version to the DVD.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, if you, I can show you some comparisons later. They, like, reanimated a lot of stuff. It's pretty crazy.
The point is, there is hope for those that are complaining about the animation or the 3D animation. Because I did not have an issue at all with the animation. The animation in this show was gorgeous.
The 2D?
Yeah. All of it. The 3D animation was amazing. The animation was not the issue.
No.
The animation was the best part, actually, I would say.
Yeah,
which is interesting.
I think this is kind of like, I think we're kind of comparing like the speed between like a Porsche and a Ferrari. You know, they both go hella fast. They're a lot faster than what we have. But I think that's pretty much what we're doing. Because it's not up to par with what we're used to seeing, but it's all still extremely gorgeous.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, another thing I noticed about the speed and intensity of the like the 3D animation stuff, it's a lot more in tune with the second Frontier movie than it would be compared to like the first episode of Frontier.
Yeah.
It's like the level of intensity is continuing from Frontier. It's not stopping and starting over.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and also, I mean, in a way, the story is not stopping and starting over either, because, you know, it's as Kawamori said, everyone knows that every Macross story ends with idols coming out and singing and saving the day. And that's where this one begins.
Oh, interesting. So you think it might end differently then?
It might subvert it, perhaps?
Or it might go somewhere different.
That's really interesting. I didn't know he stated that. That makes so much sense. No, that's cool. That actually makes me really excited for the rest of the show now, knowing that he said that. I want to see where this goes.
That's probably a good place to end it then.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
I can't wait to see more. what I've seen has really excited me and gotten my hopes to a point where I'm more than interested.
We've said it a couple times in the podcast, but for those who are, you know, skimming the too long didn't read part, watch this episode one again. If you didn't like it the first go round, watch it one more time, because it really...
And again, it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
It's Big West's own channel, and it's no longer region blocked, so you can give them a lot of views from America and let them know even more that people want this.
Support it.
At 1 a.m., Richard is going to be on the YouTube page refreshing it over and over again.
That was last night.
Okay. But yeah, just episode one gives you so much information, and you just don't know it at first because it's all at once. So I just watch it again, and it's... I am also just looking forward to the rest of the show now.
It does feel like a Macross show.
Oh, it does. It's pure Macross. It's almost too much Macross.
Yeah. Again, it's like poetry. Each stanza rhymes the...
Totally unoriginal, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I'm extremely excited for it. I mean, especially knowing that this is just the first episode and there are going to be drastic changes in the next few episodes after. So for those that maybe don't like it or maybe have some reservations, you know, don't quit right now. You know, try and, you know, just wait until the series starts airing, because I think you're going to be in for a surprise.
I get the feeling there are going to be a lot of people who like saw this episode and are like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to watch this. And then probably around like episode 8 or 9, like all of their friends are going to be saying, yeah, you really should be watching this. You know, catch up. Yeah. But anyway, I guess that does it for us.
Oh.
So thank you all for joining me, my co-hosts and the audience. And for Macross Speaker Podcast, we are folding out. Gwen, please put the actual music in
it. Yes, Gwen, that would be great.
God damn it. No, I literally, I'm not doing that for an act. I literally like walk around this house. I'll be like, I'm like, shit.
How are the levels coming in, hon?
Look good.
All right.
That kind of stopped happening to me yesterday.
It's been going kicking strong in my head for...
For some reason, starting last night and all through today, I've had Love Day After Tomorrow by Mai Kuraki going through my head.